Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Sage is in the house. Mr. Ira Kaufman is his name. Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. The D. Kemper is here. The gang is together on what we'll call Crisis Tuesday, Ira. Franchise in peril. The franchise quarterback has been benched. But first, how are you, Ira?
Just another day in Buckland. I just knocked off a bowl of chili, turkey chili. And it did nothing to calm me down from the debacle that took place in Paul Brown Stadium. You know, Paul Brown's one of the founders of NFL football. They've been playing for about 100 years. Paul Brown's one of, you know, five legendary figures in this game's history. He created a lot of things that modern coaches are still doing, and he did them back in the 50s. Film work and scheduling and how to do practices. They're still following Paul Brown. So the stadium's named after Paul Brown. And by the way, that game might have set football back about 100 years, Lee. That was not good football out there Sunday, especially by your visitors, Mr. DeKemper.
I got a story about that stadium you'll love. Your friend Joe Henderson.
From Lebanon, Ohio.
I'm going to go on a record here. You've been warning us for a year that Henderson wants to go on his podcast.
He wants to do this podcast.
I'm on record. That's your call. The door is open for Joe.
The man lives in Brandon. You want to go to Brandon?
We know he knows where we work. It's called One Buck Palace.
All right.
The door is open. I'm on record for all of the world to hear.
We will get him before Thanksgiving.
Oh, there we go. Here's my Joe Henderson story in that stadium. I remember when Joe Henderson, you know, at the Tribune, I was working for Joe, and I still say Joe Henderson is why Joe Buck's fan exists. That's another story for another podcast. Anyway, I accidentally referred to that stadium in Cincinnati as Mike Brown Stadium. By accident, he freaked out. He just screamed at me and glared at me, Paul Brown Stadium.
That's all right. I set a record when I was working for United Press in New York. I set a record that can only be matched. It can't be topped. The first letter of my story was wrong. I had a typo and it said, Beast Rutherford, New Jersey, off a Giants game. You can't beat it. You can only tie it. First letter of a story,
Beast.
Incorrect. Beast Rutherford.
What was the Sopranos episode where they're giving Pauly crap about he claimed he saw UFOs over East Rutherford?
I'm not over Sunday.
I got you, Sage. Real quick, for those who don't know, Joe Henderson, longtime sports writer, columnist, editor at the Tampa Tribune. He flipped over to doing
Now he's a contributor for the Times, writes a Sunday column.
He started doing politics at the Tribune, sort of Tampa Metro kind of stuff, and now he's with the Times, does a lot of political freelance stuff, but he's a lifelong Bengals fan. Maybe not lifelong, I don't know. Joe's kind of old.
Well, I talked to him today and told him, you take no credit because your Bengals are much better than the Bucks, and your defense sucks too. He couldn't argue with me. back to the matter at hand.
What
Steven.
A phone call, Ira.
Back to that matter.
All right, look, bottom line, here we are. I'm not joking when I say franchise in peril. When you bench your starting quarterback, a 24-year-old number one overall pick, in favor of a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, mid-season.
Not injured, healthy.
Jameis is healthy as it gets, and you throw the guy on the bench. After Fitzpatrick already was benched, because he was, no matter what your team is, you are a franchise in a crisis situation. Sage, the fans tune in for your wisdom here. Where are the Bucks with this Jameis situation? What do you think of what happened yesterday? Just let it all hang out.
All right. I said it in my column, Steve, Sunday night. Cutter wants to be cagey. I'm not going to be cagey. You got to go with Fitzpatrick. And one overriding reason. You're 3-4. You're not 1-6. If you're 1-6, the overarching factor is I got to know about Jameis Winston before the end of that season. Understood. You're 3-4. You're playing a division rival on the road. You already have a win over a division rival on the road. Carol, if you want to get to the postseason, as unlikely as that might seem right now in the wake of Sunday's game, you got to get through Carolina. And if you lose this game, you're 3-5. I think you're done. But this particular week, you got to win. So you ask yourself, who gives us the best chance to win? I think the answer by an overwhelming margin is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Having said that, even if he goes with Fitzpatrick, I think Winston's going to get back in the saddle sooner rather than later. They're 7-point underdogs. Nobody says they're going to beat Carolina, even with Fitzpatrick. But right now, don't lose the locker room and don't lose this game. You got to go with Fitzpatrick. I know you don't want to hear it from me, Mr. Cutter. Those are my 2 cents. Those are my 99 cents. And DeKemper, you want to argue against that? The floor is yours.
Well, explain yourself, Ira. First, we got no rush here. We got plenty to talk about.
I'm going to explain it.
No, because you're not explaining yourself here. You just said you expect Jameis back in the lineup, back in the saddle, as you said. Well, if you expect him back in the saddle, then what the hell's going on?
You got to give yourself a chance to get to 4-4. You got to give yourself a chance. If you're 4-4, he's not getting back in the saddle right away. He's going to get back in the saddle if they drop out of this playoff picture. But you don't say at 3-4, we're out of the playoff picture. You got to give yourself a chance. And lo and behold, nobody thought they'd win in New Orleans. They were 9-point underdogs. Now they're 7-point underdogs. I think New Orleans is a better team than Carolina. And Fitzpatrick beat Breeze in a shootout. He might be able to win this game. And so, if you're 4-4, you're not in bad shape.
So you're telling the good people of Tampa Bay that Jameis will return when the season is lost. That's what you're telling everybody.
If the season is lost, Jameis will return. Yeah, I do believe that.
Got it.
I do believe that.
Ira, I don't know what to think right now. I really don't know what to think.
You're the guy that called for Winston to be benched yesterday.
That doesn't mean thrown off the roster. Benched for a game. I equated it to a starting pitcher. Guy didn't have his breaking ball. You don't let him out there and toss home run pitches every other batter.
All right, and then they come out and score 18 points in the fourth quarter under a different quarterback. Now you want to go back to Winston?
Well, there's a lot of things going on here. First off, I'm a pattern guy. I'm a history guy. We're talking Ryan Fitzpatrick. I don't give a damn what he did in New Orleans or the game after against the Eagles. You're bucking 12 years of NFL history, if not more, of this sorry quarterback is all of a sudden going to magically turn into Dan Fouts.
You didn't look sorry Sunday.
Are you willing to bank your if you're Cutter, are you willing to bank your career on this guy?
You got to win the game. You got to win this game.
That mentality is what will get Cutter fired. What I mean by that is this: I look at the NFL like the stock market. If you have Apple stock, are you going to dump it because iPhone won't let you use the third-party app to block telemarketers?
I'm in no position to talk. I had Tampa Tribune stock. We saw what happened there.
Well, that was good stock, by the way, because Media General made money by getting rid of the Tribune.
Lee, you're not addressing my main point. You're 3-4. You're not out of it. You got to win this game. Who gives you the best chance to win this game? You know the answer to that.
Looking at history, Jameis.
History. How about Sunday? Never mind.
Once again, what's
the history argument?
History argument. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, Fitzpatrick's won a greater percentage of his NFL starts than Jameis has. So I'm asking, what's the history argument that says Jameis is the better shot for Sunday?
If you honestly think Ryan Fitzpatrick is the answer for this team, I need to go start drinking right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I didn't say it was.
I'm sorry.
I said for Sunday.
We're not talking about a 3-year
plan. We're talking about one game.
Yeah. You got to win this game.
I'm not a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan unless the guy's injured. If you have a future, it's with Jameis. If you don't, you don't. We could talk here till freaking 8 o'clock at night. I'm not a Ryan Fitzpatrick guy.
Steve, the bigger question is, does Winston have a future with the Bucs? Never mind Sunday's game. And I think that question is very much in doubt.
Absolutely. It's why the franchise is in peril. They benched the guy. Let's go back to
Here's another reason why I'm saying it. I can't think off the top of my head. I can't think of a number one overall draft pick who's been benched and recovered. I mean, you're talking Tim Couch. You're talking Ryan Leaf. I don't know of a quarterback that was number one picked overall that was benched and ever recovered.
I'm the guy that said Winston was going to start the last 12 games of the year if he didn't get injured. But I didn't expect a horrendous performance like we just saw in Cincinnati. Horrendous.
Nobody did. Nobody did.
Not mediocre.
Nobody,
horrendous.
Nobody did anywhere, period. There's two elements to the benching that I think are interesting. I want to get your guys' takes on it. First, Dirk Cutter very much set a precedent with this team when he did not bench Jameis in previous years, where with games out of reach, Jameis not having a great day, and Jameis getting the literal crap beaten out of him. When people were saying to Cutter, why didn't you pull the guy What do you have to prove? You're in Arizona. He's taken six shots. He's not playing well. You're down 42-7. What are you doing? Cutter said you don't pull your guy. That's what he said. Now, all of a sudden, now he pulls his guy. And that's a weird conundrum on a team here. Also, the other thing I want your take on those is Cutter always says what? He says your guys are your guys. All of a sudden, Jameis is not his guy in the middle of a game? I mean, those two things together are really strange, and I don't know. What do you think?
All right. Here's one key difference from, those days with Arizona and you don't pull them and this and that. He didn't have a backup who was lighting up the scoreboard for most of this season. Now, Fitzpatrick had a bad first half against Pittsburgh. Bad. Not average. Bad.
Almost worse than Jameis.
The Chicago game is a blank for Fitzpatrick. Not his fault. Horrendous performance by the Bucs. Yeah. He comes in yesterday, and by God, if the game goes into overtime and the Bucs win the coin toss, we all three of us think the game's over. The Bucs are going to go down and score a touchdown. I think even Bengal fans would agree with that. So, Steve, what I'm saying is the dynamic has changed because of the way Fitzpatrick has played for most of this season. Yeah, he was terrible in the first half against Pittsburgh. But does anybody think Winston would have won a shootout with Drew Brees in week one? Does anybody have a reason to think that the Bucs would have gave up 40 points, but Winston would have led him to that victory? Fitzpatrick was fantastic. He was fantastic.
Yeah, but I mean, Jameis already had beaten Brees on a shootout once before when he was
48-40.
I understand. Kemper.
So the dynamic has changed. And, you know, what also has changed is Cutter's got to win. Cutter's got to win. He's not in his first year as a coach. He's got, got some, insurance built into the contract. Now he's fighting for his life. Look, one aspect of this is, will the Glazers weigh in? Will the Glazers weigh in? They're not Jerry Jones, but this is too important a decision that they're not going to be
a factor. Oh, yeah.
If I'm Cutter, I'm asking the Glazers, what do you suggest?
If you're smart.
If you're smart.
What?
If you're smart. You don't want to go against Ed Glazer. You don't want to lose that battle. The man's hosting Trump rallies. You don't want to lose that
he's
battle.
He's got power. He's got clout, as you'd like to say.
He's got clout. He's got hand, according to George Costanza. Got hand if you watch
hand.
If you watch Seinfeld. He's got hand. And Cutter doesn't. So I think Fitzpatrick's gonna be the guy, Steve. And you haven't even talked about losing the locker room if you don't do that. That's another factor.
What do you mean, me? I asked you what you thought of this.
I told you what I thought. Fitzpatrick's the guy, and I gave you a reason why. You're 3-4. If you win this game, you're very much alive. You are alive. 4-4. I told you about the third quarter schedule. It doesn't look that good. Yeah, the Redskins are a little better than we thought they were. You got the Giants and the Niners. Excuse me. You can't beat those teams? At worst, you'd be looking, I think, at 6-6. 6-6 going into December, Buck fans would take that. Buck fans would take it. Then you make a decision depending on how Fitzpatrick's playing. But you don't go back to Winston on Sunday in Charlotte. You don't do it.
Why was Dirk Cutter hired? You and I both know this.
To win.
No. He was hired because of Jameis.
Win freaking football games.
Come on, Ira. You know he was hired because of Jameis. You know that. You're recovering a team full time. Don't you know this?
Winston went AWOL Sunday. He went AWOL. And what do you want to do?
Well, again, he should have been pulled. I'm not disputing that in any way.
One of the worst games played by a Buck quarterback in a decade.
Have I not said he should have been pulled? I put it out on Twitter yesterday. People couldn't believe I did that. He was like a pitcher that didn't have his breaking pitch.
Everybody thought it was me.
Not only was he pulled, but Fitzpatrick was outstanding. Fitzpatrick wasn't outstanding, we're not having this argument.
Ira, I've made that point abundantly clear.
No, you haven't. You haven't said that.
How many times do I got to say Jameis should have been pulled? Do I need to get my tape recorder out and keep playing it 20 times over and over?
I want part B. I want part B of that argument. Fitzpatrick was superb. I want part B.
He played well in the second half.
Say it, the Kemper.
How about saying this? Cutter was hired because of Jameis. You can't tell me that's inaccurate.
In part.
You're darn right. So if we've made, we being collectively Buck fandom, if we believe Jameis is toast, Cutter is basically announcing to the world, specifically to the Glazers, I had one job, and I failed.
Hold on. I'm going to give you the counter-argument, and I'm going to put you in your place, DeKemper.
I don't think so.
Steven, if, for some crazy reason, the Bucks go 10-6, they make the... Stop laughing.
Excuse me, go ahead.
If they go 10-6, with freaking Fitzpatrick under center, and then, you know, maybe go in a different direction as the quarterback next year, go draft somebody. Is Dirk Koetter going to get fired?
No.
Because Jameis Winston was on the bench, and he's 10-6. Is Koetter going to get fired?
Of course
not. Yes or
no? Of course not.
So, case closed. What's the chance of going 10-6?
Minimal.
Not if you start Jameis Winston at Carolina. Sorry. Not happening. You go with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, because basically Koetter is do or die. It's playoffs or bust with Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, there's no question that.
Whereas Koetter could survive, I believe this, Koetter could survive at 500, maybe even 7-9 if he turns around Jameis. If he turns around Jameis. Because that's the investment the Glazers have. Remember my Apple stock analogy? That's the investment.
Gentlemen, have we reached such a nadir? Have we lowered the bar that much?
Yeah.
That 7-9 is considered a successful season for a team that ain't made the playoffs in 10 freaking years?
Not successful season.
7-9?
Not successful season, successful job.
No,
he turned around Jameis.
It's not a successful season or job because he's already played games with Jameis. You know, it would be, and at this point, if you go 7-9 with Jameis, I mean, I don't know what you really accomplished. He's healthy. He got the best set of weapons in the league. So I don't think it'll be enough for Koetter. He needs a real run here to straighten this thing out. Before we keep going on Jameis, because there's so much to talk about, you can't lose during the Big Win sales event at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy has your chance now to lease Escalades just $7.89 a month. Get to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, for your chance to win big. Visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com to shop online immediately. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. The dealer has all the offer details on the Escalades. And, of course, Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October means Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa is giving proceeds from every vehicle sold to My Hope Chest, a wonderful charity that helps breast cancer survivors. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. And at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, you know Ira was just there hanging out with John Cooper. They are on Causeway Boulevard, just east of 75. That's Hillsborough County's other Cadillac dealership. There's only two. They have 2019 Cadillac XT4s now in stock and ready for immediate delivery. Fantastic crossover. You see the ad on JoeBucksFan.com. Get yourself to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com and start your shopping search there. We so appreciate the support of Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, who present all of Ira's work, his three columns on JoeBucksFan.com every week, his podcasts, and you can always see Ira around town wearing his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear. Thank you, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Interesting stat I heard out of Cincinnati last week. The percentage of teams who make the playoffs after they go 4-4, 14% chance of making the playoffs if you go 4-4.
And the rest of the way, you mean?
No, if you reach a 4-4 record.
Oh,
I thought it'd be a little higher.
It's about 14%. If you go 5-3, it's about 37%. And right now, obviously, you know, the Bucks are sitting where they're sitting, but the whole reality of the slim shot of them making the playoffs, period, where they sit right now at 3-4. I mean, it's slim.
It's slim.
How does that affect Team Glazer and their decision here? Because I know you gotta give yourself a shot next week, but what are they thinking as it relates to that big picture? And Ira, I got to say this. You said Dirk Koetter should go ask Team Glazer what they think. What the hell's going on here? I don't want a coach running over to Ed Glazer saying, what do you think we should do at quarterback? Get out of town, man. And what makes you think the Glazers, three fans themselves, have any kind of consensus? Which Glazer do you talk to? I mean, you text them all and see what comes back?
First of all, they're happy that Man U beat Everton 2-1 on Sunday.
What is
like
Everton?
That, Kemper?
What is Everton?
Everton, a Premier League team. Come on. Get with the soccer program.
Nah,
there,
it's England. Please. I don't care about Europe. I'm a jingoist.
This is not just a quarterback issue. This is the first overall pick in the draft. Of course the Glazers are going to have a say. And you know what? They should have a say.
Yeah, they own the damn team.
They should
have
a say. Now look, don't misinterpret me, gentlemen. If you play Fitzpatrick.
I got you so wound up.
And he loses at Charlotte. I'm going back to Winston. I'm going back to Winston. Your season's over. But right now, it ain't over. And until it is, I'm going with the guy that gives me the best chance to win. My priorities would change in the second half of the season if you're out of it. It changes. Then I go back to what the Kemper's saying, and I agree with him. You got to find out more about Winston. I found out a little bit about him Sunday, and I didn't like what I found out, the Kemper. Now, you have a theory about what the heck's going on with Winston. Why don't you lay it on us?
Well, I wrote this last night, and it was just speculation. I'm just trying to do the math, you know. So why the hell?
You got me all wound up over here, Stephen.
Which just makes for a good podcast. You got me wound up, too, so what the hell? Which makes for a bad podcast, I think. But no, I'm a pattern guy. Again, I look at patterns, look at history, like, why the Jameis looks so good in training camp and preseason? That's just not coming from me. I spoke with someone else who's been a longtime Bucks beat writer. I'm not going to mention his name because he didn't expect to have his name brought up on our podcast. But I asked him, I said, am I imagining things here? I mean, Jameis looking so damn good.
And what did Gil Arcia say?
Wasn't Gil Arcia.
All right. You said it yourself. It was preseason. Take it easy.
Training camp. It was wasn't
training camp.
I know preseason. My record.
Noah Spence looked good in training camp.
Well,
against the mighty Buck defense.
And, yeah. No, I'm just talking about his precision.
You can't get away with anything on this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about his precision, his touch on the ball, everything. And I asked this guy, am I imagining things? Is it just because he's playing against air or playing against the Bucks defense? And this guy said, no, man, you're right, because I've never seen him throw this well. And of course, we saw what he did in preseason, but I'm not a preseason guy. So if someone wants to jump on me about how preseason games are worthless, I agree. And he looked so awful yesterday, worse than the week before. Like, what's going on here? And I remember a couple years ago, might have been 3 years ago, I was at the East-West Shrine practices. They have their practices in St. Petersburg each January. And I was talking to a guy that all three of us know. Again, I'm not going to mention his name because he didn't expect this to wind up on a podcast.
I'd like you to mention somebody's name on you got 40 more minutes, the Kemper. See if you can mention one name on this podcast.
This guy, who played quarterback at a high level, was telling me how he thinks George Whitfield's reputation as a quarterback guru is ill-gained. And for people who don't know who George Whitfield is, he's basically had a cottage industry of training quarterbacks for the draft.
You use more unnamed sources in the last 15 minutes than the New York Times will in tomorrow's editions. What's going on with you, DeKemper?
Well, do you expect me to blow the whistle on everybody and not have anybody tell me a nickel's worth?
I'd like to know what kind of circles you run in.
I think I told you.
Anyway, so you're saying
East-West Shrine practices, those are full of coaches and scouts and GMs.
You're saying at the very least George Whitfield has not helped number three.
Yeah, and Whitfield was Jameis' personal quarterback coach. When Jameis had this workout with all these stiffs, these AAF wannabes, these CFL rejects for 3 weeks, in St. Petersburg or Tampa, I can't remember. Whitfield was there running the practices with
Jameis. You think he tinkered with his motion?
Well, I speculated he got something happened in those 3 weeks.
This is quite a theory over here.
And I got more information here, if I can continue. I'm just saying, right. You know, let's not jump.
He's saying, shut up, Ira.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that. I know how Steve likes to try to keep me in line.
This bitch is looking at his computer. I'm a little nervous about what he's going to come
and
up with.
He's not writing anything down, so that's a good thing. I'm trying to figure out, why did Jameis look so freaking good up till the day he had to serve his suspension and look so horrible now? I don't know, maybe it's the 3 weeks off, maybe he got into bad habits. I really didn't know, but I speculated maybe Whitfield screwed him up. Because, again, I was talking to this guy at East-West Shrine practices that was telling me, a guy who played quarterback at a high level, told me Whitfield's way overrated. And if you look at his resume, he's only really worked with one decent quarterback, and that guy was ready-made in college like no one has been in 20 years. His name is Andrew Luck. Everybody else he worked with, Johnny Football, Cam Newton, not exactly Dan Fouts or Dan Marino type of quarterback. So, anyway, I just speculated this, that Whitfield maybe screwed Jameis up, and I just left it at that. Well, this morning, I get on Twitter. Another gentleman, this will get you going. I'll say he played in the SEC. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
And he played for a very good offense. He played for Spurrier. He said Jameis' mechanics are all screwed up. He goes, his mechanics were just about perfect in preseason. They're all screwed up now. And then Anthony Becht, who we all know, there's a name for you on the record, went on Twitter, said the same thing. Winston's mechanics are screwed up. I don't know if that's it. But it reinforced what I thought.
To Lee's point, I heard Becht on the radio this morning really sort of explaining some of those mechanics
That's
issues.
Quite a theory, Steve.
Although he did come out and say, you know, hey, I'm no quarterback guru.
He didn't mention Whitfield.
No, he did not mention, not on the radio anyway. Okay. But a couple of things I got to say about that. And it's an excellent theory. Hey, we're all fishing for reasons why Jameis looked like a deer in the headlights yesterday is for no apparent reason. I'll say this. I do know Dirk Koetter and Mike Bajakian both said they knew about Jameis's training plan during his 24 days away from the organization, and they approved it and liked it. So regardless of whether Whitfield screwed him up, it was rubber stamped and blessed by the organization.
Yes.
So, and hey, you know, Jameis, if the guy's not doing what his coaches should be doing, Jameis should be mature enough to say, hey, my coaches don't want me to do it that way. I'm going to do it this way. So but there's that.
To your point, and again, I don't know if Whitfield screwed him up. I just threw it out there as speculation, and I find it interesting. Two people who I respect, they know a hell of a lot more about football than me, said the same thing, not mentioning Whitfield, but mentioning fundamentals, the mechanics. But if that's true, you know, and yes, I remember Koetter said, oh, man, this is a great plan. Jameis,
right.
If that's true, that doesn't look good for Koetter.
No, it doesn't look good for Koetter at all. Also, on that front, when Jameis came back, Koetter and Bajakian, and I believe, he talked to us after that. They both said no rust on Jameis. Guy looks fantastic, great shape, he's throwing great. No rust was the quote, no rust. So, you know, if he did come back and they liked what he looked like and he's had a couple of weeks of action, you would think a month later Whitfield would be way out of his head, but it's...
You'd hope.
I mean, you would hope, but I don't know. I don't know.
By the way, guys, I have one more factor, I believe, might be the key factor in why I think Fitzpatrick's going to be the guy, should be the guy. You guys have been listening to Koetter for 2.5 years now as a head coach. I don't think I'm reaching to say the one thing he can't stomach, turnovers. He can't stomach them.
Drives him crazy.
So it's not that Winston's completion percentage is 55% and should be 66%.
Is it 55?
No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with his completion percentage. It's not that he's not hitting the long ball. Yeah, he's hitting some long balls.
Better than he was.
It's the interceptions.
And he
said it again yesterday. Steve, what's the one thing that jumped out at you? We can't do that. Yeah. You can't do that. So if you can't do that, and he's doing it at almost a historic rate.
Oh, man.
The last 3 weeks, and they're minus 13, and it's costing them ball games. Now, part of that is they don't get any takeaways. One interception in 7 games is absurd.
You know, I may
Shame on you, one interception.
I may be a Jameis homer. There's no question he's costing them games. I may be a homer, but I'm not a
Steve,
fool.
I don't think you can get around that. Koetter says we can't do it. You can't do it. And Winston's been doing it. You can't do it. So what does that tell you? Now all of a sudden I'm going back to Jameis Winston? You can't do it.
Well, look, Koetter's he's desperate, man. He needs wins.
You're making my point for me.
He's desperate. And the turnovers, look, Jameis, he's thrown 10 picks in 13 quarters, which is just, it's mind-boggling. And this is the same guy who finished last year. He threw 5 picks in his last 5 games, including 3 in the last game when he told the whole world I was forcing the ball to Mike Evans to get him a record 1,000 yards. And that's on me. What are you doing?
Means nothing.
It's a tough spot for Koetter. I agree, he's desperate. I think if he gets his wish, he'll go with Fitzpatrick just to try to win this game and take a deep breath. But if you win with Fitzpatrick, I mean, Lee talked about this before the season. If you play Fitzpatrick and start playing Ring Around the Rosie,
you're going to get your go for a new quarterback next year.
With quarterbacks, you're getting fired. There's no way you survive this barring a miracle, especially with the defense being as bad as it is. And
I'll say this. If he wins 9 games with Fitzpatrick the rest of the way, 9-7, he doesn't get fired. 9-7. And then you go get another quarterback next year. That's what you do. You don't want to do it, but that's what you do.
Here's what's going to happen. If
you're worried Winston gets on another team and all of a sudden he develops into the next Aaron Rodgers.
That's secondary. I agree with it, but that's secondary. I'm willing to put $500 in your pocket, Ira, and if it doesn't happen, you throw a party for people.
Continue. I heard here's the $500.
Here's what's going to happen. If Jameis is done, you're back to the spigot of Ring Around the Rosie. What's out there?
What's out there?
You're not going to be able to get a bear.
That's what the Rams said a couple years ago. What's out there? They end up with Jared Goff. What's out there?
you expect this team
Houston's
to start?
Houston's got Deshaun Watson. What's out there? Go find somebody.
who out there? Oh, Deshaun Watson was a stud before the draft. People knew about Deshaun Watson. Right now, and I watch college football like a maniac. You tell me who is out there that's the next Deshaun Watson next year. There is none.
You telling me there's not going to be three quarterbacks selected in the top 10 next year?
Yeah, and I bet you only one, maybe two, will be halfway decent.
Go find somebody.
This is what's going to happen. The Bucs are going to be like the Buffalo. They're going back to quarterback purgatory. They're going back to the Mike Glennons of the world. The Sean King. Sean King. Oh, he wins games. By God, he wins games. Some SOB couldn't win a freaking game. They're down by a touchdown, needed 80 yards, saved their life. But yet the Bucs have a quarterback that can do that, has done that, will do that. Here's what's going to happen. The Bucs are going to suck for three or four more years. They're going to be in quarterback purgatory. They're not going to have spit for offense. Guys will start leaving, and then when they have a chance to draft Trevor Lawrence in a couple of years, his agent is going to tell him, you aren't going to Tampa Bay because they're a joke of a franchise. Look what they did with the last time they had a franchise quarterback.
Lee, after Sunday's debacle.
It's going to hell for 10 years.
Are you still asserting that Jameis Winston is the best quarterback the Bucs have ever had? Are you saying
that? Yeah. But not named Steve Young.
Better than Brad Johnson. Better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I can't agree with the whole 10-year thing.
it's going to spiral. It's going to spiral like you want.
Why does it have to spiral?
Right. Well, that's I agree with I agree with Ira just on the generality of it all. It's like, look, the Bears are 4-3. They don't believe they've failed with Mitch Trubisky.
But the Bucs think they failed with Jameis. That's we're sitting at this table basically saying it right now.
Right. No, I mean, but you can win quickly. Teams do it all the time with quarterbacks that are new to your team.
Yes. I mean, but, okay. Again, I go back to what I told Ira.
The Bucs have just failed.
What Deshaun Watson's out there right now? Right now, you're going to say, that's the next Deshaun Watson. What right now?
Oh, I have no idea whatsoever.
Thank you. A-Bear, possibly. Are the Bucs going to be drafting first overall?
But every year, there's two or three of those guys. You just need the right.
You got to trade up. You got to tank or trade up.
But you need the right guy to pick them. You know, you need the right guy picking the quarterback.
You're going to get a high draft pick.
No, not high enough for a decent quarterback, unless you trade up. You got to have 14 losses to get a decent draft pick.
Well, you still have
trade up.
You still have your later round or your non-first round or late first round picks that show that they can play. I mean,
well, that's you know that's a hell of a you're banking a future of a franchise on a third round pick.
No, I'm just saying that there's no reason why if there are three quarterbacks that are good that are picked every year outside of the top four draft picks, top five picks, why can't the Bucs be one of those three teams who finds those guys?
That's
you know.
You got one right now that I'll again.
I mean, where'd they take
picks
Mahomes?
Are bad.
They took Mahomes. What 11?
No, they traded up.
And arguably arguably one of the best quarterback coaches in NFL history spotted him and targeted him.
Sure,
it wasn't like oh my God, we got this guy from Texas Tech.
Lee,
they went after him.
You don't have
they
any.
They traded up for him. They traded up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They got traded up to what number 12 was it? 11? I don't know. Ira's the Chiefs fan.
You will not acknowledge that Winston has not lived up to the billing as the number one overall pick.
Also admit he's shown me enough that I'm not throwing this guy to the curb unless I want to be the Buffalo Bills or the Browns. Well, they're already the Browns.
So
they're going to be quarterback purgatory.
So you stick with Mike Glennon and Sam Bradford. Through year five and then year six.
Give him another year next year. And then you move on.
If he's 7-9 next year?
What's more important, eating sugar now or having diabetes next month? I look at the NFL as the stock market.
They have a fantastic offense.
If you expect an immediate return, immediate, in the stock market, you're going to go nuts.
This is a historic offense. Stop turning the ball over and give yourself a freaking chance to win.
All right, well, let me go back to what you said before, Sage, which was getting a quarterback next year. In your hypothetical, keyword hypothetical, if they go 9-7 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're going to play Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback next year.
But you're still drafting
a guy who damn near retired.
Yeah, I understand you still draft one, but you're not going to play the guy if Cutter's back with Fitzpatrick coming off 9-7.
You call it an open competition.
What? You just said it's a historic offense, and with this hypothetical, the guy's 9-7, and he's coming back, and everybody's ecstatic. You're going to have an open competition? Well, we don't even have an open competition for Sunday.
All of a sudden, 9-7 is 13-3? Take it easy.
In this town, it would be.
They went 9-7 two years ago. Take it easy.
All right.
Yeah, but who was that quarterback?
You know what his lifetime record is, Lee. You don't want to know.
I don't give a damn about Winston.
You have your computer there. What is his record? What is his record?
We all know his record.
He was 3-10 last year.
We all know the record. It doesn't matter.
If the Dodgers
right now, today, it doesn't matter.
If the Dodgers in the early 60s had a crap bullpen, he'd unload Sandy Koufax because he had 10 losses.
Jameis is actually 20th in the NFL in completion percentage among quarterbacks who have started a significant number of games. So he's 20th. He's substandard in the changed NFL. He's actually at 64.9%.
What's his interception rate?
Well, you know what that is,
too. What's his rate?
He improved every year until this year, and he's gone off the rails.
He's got an 8% interception rate. That means you're throwing 8.
He's throwing the ball away like a lunatic. Come on, what do we need to know?
That's another reason why I think something happened in that layoff. Every year he improved his interception ratio. Every year until this year. And he's gone off the rails.
Here's a question for you guys.
There's too many coincidences there.
If, let's say, the Bucs. I'll throw another hypothetical, Irons. Try to stay within the hypothetical.
They love the hypothetical.
They love
the Drake.
Let's say they put Fitzpatrick out there next week, and I agree with you that if you don't play Fitzpatrick next week, you risk losing the locker room. Because those guys who live in there believe he's better right now, and you can't tell NFL players it's a week-to-week league. We got everything is all about this week, and then not play the guy you think is best. So I agree with you. But let's say Fitzpatrick goes out there, the Carolina thumps him, 35-21, and 3-5. We've lost 5 out of 6. They go back to Jameis. Okay, let's say you go back to Jameis, and he's inconsistent, which is what I would expect. History shows very inconsistent guy. So he has some excellent games. He has a few clunkers, and the Bucs limp their way to 7-9 or 6-10. Now let's say that's the case. At that point, if they're 6-10. Let's say, or 7-9. Do you believe they have to draft a quarterback next year somewhere, even if it's in the second round, with the expectation of, hey, maybe this guy takes over for Jameis if Jameis can't take another step in his next year? Do you get the quarterback next year and let them fight it out?
Under the scenario you just painted, Jameis Winston's not on my team in 2019. He's gone.
If you draft Fitzpatrick's quarterback,
my backup. Yeah. I go out, get a quarterback in free agency or the draft. And we head into 2019, and Jameis Winston, good luck in Jacksonville. Good luck in Jacksonville, Jameis. I'm moving on. Based on what you just said, he's inconsistent. Over the final 8 weeks of the season, I'm not getting him $21 million.
Think about what you just said. He's good enough for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations in Jacksonville, not good enough for the Bucs.
Well, he's not good enough for the Bucs going forward. He'll have 4 years of inconsistent play with the Bucs.
Sage, I said if you keep Jameis,
if
he's 4-4 for the rest of the way, they go 7-9, and you keep Jameis for 2019 after an inconsistent 4-4 finish. Do you draft a quarterback in 2019 as to get that ball rolling in case you need to?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
In the last 5 or 6 years, it's pretty clear. Unless you're drafting a quarterback first round, and you're wasting a draft pick and wasting your time. So if they're drafting a first-round pick, I don't know why you'd keep Jameis.
Draft and develop. Draft and develop. Don't forget it. Under your scenario, it'd probably be a new regime in there.
Yeah, you'd have to, because why would you trust Cutter?
You just said there's a 7-9 finish. Winston's still around. And if you keep him, it's a new regime.
If you don't have enough faith in Jameis that you draft a quarterback, why would you bank on the guy who oversaw Jameis imploding to develop a quarterback? I wouldn't trust him.
One thing we're forgetting here, and it's the basis of my Monday column, which is going to knock your socks off.
With a stat.
Bits. I'm gonna throw that nugget out right now so you don't get scared later. Listen to what I'm about to say, DeKemper. Don't take a sip of that coffee. You're going to spit it up like Danny Thomas from the old Danny Thomas show.
And I'm probably the only one that's listening that saw that show.
At their current pace, listeners, I want everybody to gather around the fireplace. At their current pace, these Bucks are threatening the all-time record. They've been playing football for 100 freaking years. The all-time record, most yards gained in a season. 2013 Broncos that happen to have a quarterback named Manning who threw 55 touchdowns. 55!
And I thought I was bad on the VU meter.
This team is on pace to gain more yards than any team that's ever played in this league. This team, with an inconsistent ground game.
The Buccaneers.
With an offensive line that we're not too sure about. This team. And how dare you waste that? How dare you? You got to win 9 or 10 games like that. just by getting your ass back out on the football field. Nobody can stop you.
That also demonstrates how horrible the defense has been.
Nobody can stop you unless you stop yourself. They can't stop you.
All right, Ira, I'm going to stop you.
We have like them apples.
We have a lot more to talk about, of course. Horrible coaching decisions, other things going on.
We haven't even talked about the defense.
The offensive line, the defense, so much to get to, and we're going to do that in just a minute. Fantastic, of course, to hear more offers from Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa and Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon that we heard to open up here, Sage. I know you are fired up.
Have you ever heard me this animated? I'm screaming.
Well, it reflects the crisis nature that we're all sitting in here. Crisis.
We're not used to any offense in this town. We don't know anything about offense. This is an unbelievable offense.
Okay, well, it's so unbelievable. Then why the hell does the head coach continue to put his money on a crap-ass kicker?
Thank you.
You tell me that, Sage. They're so great.
I'll give you my answer. I'd release them today.
Cutter or the kicker?
Outstanding. Outstanding, Isbitz. Outstanding. I'd release them today. Out. I want an upgrade. 4 extra points? 4? 7 games? 4? Justin Tucker had never missed one till last week. He's missed one in his career. 4? You're out.
Who do you blame more, the GM or the coach?
GM. GM. GM brought him in. GM tried him out. GM looked over the landscape. This is our guy. Boom. GM. Don't tell me you're going to pin this on Little Dirk Cutter over
no.
there.
No. One.
The ghost of Matt Bryant. The ghost. The ghost.
Yeah. You're right. You always bring it up, and you're absolutely right. I love Jason Light to death, but right now, as we speak here, October 30th, there's 2 positions going on 5 years of drafting and signing players. I don't think Jason knows what he's looking for in a running back, and he sure as hell doesn't know what he's looking for in a kicker. And I love you, Jason, but those 2 areas, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss, swing and miss.
I'm going to take a chill pill the rest of this podcast. I'm not going to scream. I can't shake up my lips.
This is the fourth kicker. Yeah. This is the fourth kicker in Light's tenure. Here.
There's another thing I'm going to say about the current kicker. He's kicking everything, including his misses, to the right. Now, I remember Dirk Cutter once, last couple weeks, said he was setting up, I always butcher his last name, Catanzaro. Okay. He was setting him up to the right, which is what he wants. He misses right. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm sure there's people banging on the dashboard. You damn right. I could be stone cold dumb here. Just me being naive, whatever. Can someone with the Bucks walk up to him, tap him on the shoulder like, can you start aiming to the left a little bit? Just a little bit? Just a little bit?
Even his makes are shaky. The makes are shaky.
To the right.
They're shaky.
To the right.
He's tucking them inside the post. You know, on a 37-yarder. What are you doing?
I mean, the kickers, they don't aim. They basically are deciding where they're striking the ball and the angle at which they're striking the ball. It's just like golf to get the desired result. He's showing the signs of a kicker who has no confidence in his striking of the ball.
You guys see Zuerlein for the Rams? Every freaking kick's right down the middle.
I'm sure as a 50-year-old kid at Clearwater Central Catholic. Yeah, I could probably kick as well as Catanzaro right now.
It's really disgraceful. I mean, Light and Cutter is to blame for playing the guy. You know?
Absolutely.
You know, and you'll go to Light and say, I need a new kicker in here. Otherwise, I'm going to go for 2. Your call. I mean, that's what has to happen.
3 games in a row with the offense you bragged about, Ira, Cutter has done a Lucy. And for what people who don't know anything about the Peanuts cartoon, go to YouTube. Lucy always pulled the ball away from Linus when he went to kick it, and Linus wound up falling on his ass. He pulled Lucy 3 games in a row, and it cost him all 3 times. Did he not, Steve? With this prolific offense.
And I got news for you guys. If you pass your own freaking 40 and it's 4th and less than 16, I ain't punting. I'm not punting if I'm Dirk Cutter. I want the football, and I'm not giving it up. Changes the whole philosophy of what used to go on around here.
3 seconds ago, he's not yelling. Now he's banging on the table.
I got him worked up.
By the way, how long is this podcast going
to
be?
I don't know. We got a lot to talk about. You got somewhere to go? All right.
Yeah, Muriel down the street. She walks her pug, and he wants to flirt with her, but Dante's gone. So
I got to get to the bank.
All right, Ira, here we go. Let's rapid fire it down. The defense, they got gutted. And now we learn that Vita Vea suffered some sort of knee injury.
The guy was hurt.
I didn't either.
Well, he probably played through it. I mean, there's that story of Logan Mankins playing the Super Bowl with a torn ACL. And Adam Schefter reported.
How about Mike Evans playing hurt down the stretch yesterday? Yeah. A lot of guts for Mike Evans.
The guy,
he's a warrior.
He's been fantastic. I mean, he's averaging 110 yards a game.
Fantastic.
I mean, sheesh.
Wow.
And so they got gutted up the gut. You know, Vea's hurt.
Vea's a run stuffer. What do you mean gutted up the gut?
They were gutted.
Bo Allen and Vita Vea did it. It stopped the run.
You know, you again with the Bo Allen and the Vinnie Currys, these are guys launched by their previous teams. That's just the reality of the NFL. Unwanted. You know.
Was Allen cut? I know Vinnie was
not
cut.
Resigned.
Free agency.
Where the heck would this team be without JPP? Where the heck would they be? I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
he had the only two hits besides the sack.
Yeah, that's hard to do.
He went 4-for-4.
I criticized Light earlier.
That was a great move.
JPP was an absolute steal.
Steal.
You know, if he goes to New Orleans or if he goes to New Jersey, there's a warrant for his arrest for robbery.
Absolute steal for Jason Light.
8 sacks. Unbelievable, really, if you think about it. 8 sacks. He's going to get that 10 if he doesn't get hurt. He'll get it.
He might get it Sunday. I mean, he might get the 10 on Sunday.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, he could.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know that he's going to be frothing at the mouth when they do go to Eli Manning and friends up there. He's going to just be super crazy. But no run defense, really, is what happened to them.
I said Mixon looked like Barry Sanders in the first half.
But they made their share of plays. They got off the field. They still held them to 30 points.
It was 4 or 5 straight punts they forced in the second half.
If you don't count the pick six.
Lee, with the game on the line, they didn't get it done.
You know, this shows you how bad the defense has been. That I actually went to joebucksfan.com and wrote in a story how the defense has improved.
Well, just because it's improved, you're going from 32nd to 27th. Isbitz wants to see him at 16.
Oh, yeah. And Steve's got... Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Middle of the pack. You want
to
be nice? Yeah.
But that shows you how awful the defense was. Even after a rotten game like that, by most people's standards, they had a rotten game. That was an improvement.
I understand.
They're getting better.
Hey, you know what? Our friend Ian Beckles, who apparently is not friendly or not a fan favorite, because whenever
man's got strong opinions. No doubt about it.
And I guess people don't like strong opinions unless they're cheerleaders. Beckles, on his latest podcast, well, not latest, he's recording today, but a recent podcast, you know, after Quan got hurt, he said this team, this defense is going to miss him more than people realize. And I think yesterday was an example of that, the way the Bengals were running up the middle on the Bucks.
And again, nobody knows where the heck Beckwith is. Nobody knows when he's coming back.
You know what? I'm not expecting him the whole season.
I don't know if
he's
coming back.
Yeah.
Steve?
What's to know? The guy's had major surgery, and he's not right. That's all you got to know. He hasn't played since last year.
They're desperate.
It's Halloween. He hasn't played since last year. Come on, man. Beckwith.
They got to get him in there.
Maybe he should practice a little first, you know, and get some football legs that we're as soon as he gets on the field, we're going to hear, oh, man, the guy needs his football legs.
Lee, you seeing anything out of Stewart or Davis?
Davis, there's some promise. Stewart, no, I'm not seeing anything.
Stewart is slow.
Yeah.
Now he's hurt his foot. But he's been slow in training camp. He was slow in preseason. He's slow, slow, slow. He's not a slot receiver. A slot corner. And
he doesn't
have the football speed, and that you can't teach that. So I don't know where they go from here with him, but it's not looking good. Davis, I think, keeps getting better.
He shows promise.
He's got some of the flashes of talent. And the new guy they had running out there, I forgot his name, made a couple of plays, some scrap heap guy.
I expected a little more out of Justin Evans. I mean, he's got the only pick of the freaking season, but I expect a little more. He's not making a lot of plays.
Yeah, people think I'm anti a player when I critique them. Not saying criticize, critique. It's two different words. And I always go back. I mean, it's so easy to do a rear view mirror logic and go back on the draft, but man, that's looking bad for the Bucks. Alvin Kamara is sitting out there waiting to be picked, and the Bucks thought that Evans was better. Obviously, they drafted him, but you're talking about impact to a team. The Saints were losers, and then they draft Kamara.
When Sean Payton has a running game, look out.
Yeah, and you don't think, and this is not anti-Justin Evans at all, but you don't think Kamara would have had more impact with
but
the Bucks.
But lead is a lot of teams that you can say the same thing.
Yeah, that's why I admit that. It's so easy to play rear view
mirror.
And
by the way, I thought Peyton Barber played very well yesterday.
I thought he played great. I
mean, that guy busts his tail.
He breaks his. He runs so much harder than Ronald Jones. It's embarrassing for Jones is really what it comes down to. And Barber's now up to 3.7 yards a carry. He looks like a legitimate number one back. Doesn't look like a special back. He's not going to any Pro Bowls anytime soon.
I think two out of the last three games he's played well.
But he looks legitimate. It's interesting, though, that when you any criticism of the Bucs and you know some of their offensive drafting, it all goes back to this is still the number one offense in the NFL, and they're putting up a lot of points. So it's like, how do you – it's easy to criticize, but then how do you sort of justify it? It's bizarre. And I agree with everything Lee said, but it's just bizarre because we don't even understand how to think of – this is the number one offense in the NFL.
That's sort of like when we used to, our fans do, and I'm just as guilty. We used to criticize Kenyatta Walker, but how bad could he have been? He started for a Super Bowl team.
Yeah. I mean, Steve, what you just said is the gist of my Monday column, which starts off, it's a damn shame. It's a colossal shame that they're wasting this kind of prolific offense. It's historic. People don't even realize it's right in front of our eyes.
Right.
Nobody can stop.
We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do about it.
We don't know what to do.
And that's what makes the whole Glazer thing so phenomenal is because they're in the same boat. They've never seen anything like this.
And Lee, it's not just yards. It's not just between the 20s. They're averaging 28 points. That the Bucks have never come close to that. It's points.
And all this demonstrates, since they have a losing record, just what a sieve this defense is.
And it's not a fraud, right? They're going deep.
It's every week.
They're going short. They've got guys all over the place. They got tight ends, and Cam Braid can't even
Howard's
get on the field.
Plays.
Now, which, yep, go ahead.
This goes back to Cutter again. I like Dirk. I don't want to see him. That's another reason why I want to see Dirk back, because I like him. I think he's an okay coach, maybe a good coach in some respects. But this looks bad for Cutter. That and we can debate this again. You know, I know you guys rehashed it a couple weeks ago. Whoever ordered the hit to get rid of Mike Smith, and he was not going to get rid of Mike Smith. And we're talking about this prolific offense, and they have a losing record because they can't stop a cool breeze. And he brought Smith back.
We don't know for a fact that he didn't want Smith gone after the poor performance after the bye week. We don't know that for a fact. The fact is he didn't fire him before the bye week.
The fact is we're clueless. You know, because you just don't know if the Glazers said to him, "Look, Dirk, we want to get rid of Mike Smith." And the bye week's coming up. Great time to do it. You do what you want, but we want him out of here. So it's up to you. Maybe he gave him that one more shot.
Yeah, maybe one
and then
more
said,
shot.
And told him before and said, "Mike, owners want you out. I got my neck on the line for you. I'm giving you one more game here against the Bears. Against the Falcons.
They scored touchdowns on the first three possessions.
If it was light even.
And, and we're going to give that a shot. I'm sticking with you, but know that they want you out.
You know, guys.
And then he fired him.
Lee, while we're talking, you know, I keep coming back to a central point. And we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about this offense. The only thing that can stop them is themselves. So who gives you the best chance in that regard? Sunday. The only people that can stop the Buck offense is the freaking quarterback throwing interceptions. So who gives you the best chance?
And the kicker and the head coach.
I told you, I'd replace the kicker today. I'd kick him out.
Of course.
Out. You're out.
You know, Dirk.
You got one job, Steve.
Ira, I'm going to make you laugh.
He's getting worked up again. I'm not even doing it.
There's two things you might not have read on JoeBucksFan.com that you have to go back to read, and I'd recommend, of course, anybody to go back and read read everything while you're there and click on all the ads. Anyway, on Friday, Ira, on Friday, Dirk Cutter actually made an analogy between Chandler Catanzaro and Michael Jordan.
You better explain that right now.
Both have two legs.
Go back and look for it. It was a summary of his appearance on Sirius. Essentially, the one-liner is, you know, he said, Michael Jordan, you know, always expected to make the next three-pointer, and Chandler, and, you know, whatever. Anyway, I almost cried. Anyway.
Was there some Chablis involved in this interview?
I don't know.
Chablis.
Chablis.
Perhaps
The other thing you should go back.
Riesling, perhaps?
Did you catch Bernie Kosar breaking down Buccaneers film?
No.
For Browns.com?
Inform me.
Very, very enjoyable to watch.
When did he do this? When?
He did that before and after the Browns game. As a Bill, he does film work on their website. And
Kosar's nobody's fool. Very smart.
Yeah. Had some great nuggets in there on things the Bucs aren't doing on defense and just some disbelief in what they're doing on defense. Interesting stuff.
You know what's interesting about Kopitar? Like you said, he's a smart guy, but he always sounds like he's been at the bar for 3 hours. I mean, he does. He could be stone sober. I mean, but he just sounds always sounds drunk.
By the way, gentlemen, the trade deadline's Tuesday,
yes.
4 p.m. Gentlemen,
we have not touched on the big story of the weekend, the DeSean Jackson situation. So, Ian Rappaport comes on NFL Network. Ian Rappaport, not the most reliable guy.
That's right.
But still, he comes out, says Jackson has asked for a trade. Nobody from the Buccaneers denies it, and with many opportunities.
Dirk Cutter says he doesn't know anything about it.
Yeah, Dirk Cutter, that's his favorite thing. He doesn't know about Jameis and his situation with the league. He doesn't know. I don't know. Yeah, right, Dirk, come on. And Jackson.
And Jason Light says we don't plan on trading him, but doesn't refute the story.
Right. So what do you make, Sage Ira, of DeSean Jackson apparently having somebody, his agent or himself, say, I'd like to be traded? What do you make of that?
Well, considering the Bucs had a 3-3 record, Steve, I don't take it to mean that he wants to go to a team that is more of a playoff contender. I think it's discontent with not being as involved in the offense as he was with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, that's the way I got to look at it. That's if the story's true. And your premise is right. Rappaport makes plenty of mistakes. Plenty. Just ask Jason Light about some of them. I believe he's the same guy that said there's a rift between Cutter and Winston. Same guy. And we don't know if that story ended up being true or not. We don't know that. Vehemently denied by both sides. This one was not denied. Was not. I was looking for a little denial on Sunday, and I didn't get it. Did you, Steve? I didn't get it.
No, Jason Light was on the Buccaneers radio network. They led off with Gene Dekkerhoff asking him about that, and he didn't deny it. All he simply had to say was, didn't happen. You can't believe everything you read, Gene.
Considering what happened on Sunday and the Winston Fitzpatrick argument, if they go back to Fitzpatrick, maybe Jackson changes his mind in that regard. It's a very fluid situation.
Well, I wonder if Jackson changed his mind when he caught that touchdown pass from James. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
But Steve had the tweet of the year thus far. DeSean Jackson's mom, who seems to be a fan of ours, she reads our stuff, and she's given Steve some compliments and things Steve has written. DeSean Jackson's mom's tweet about how much she loves the area, and Steve said, I wish you would have denied the story. She had no response.
We can't get any denial, Steve.
She did not respond.
That lends a little credence to the report, if we're not getting any denials.
Well, sure. She actually tweeted about, she was praising Jenna Lane for...
You can stop right there.
The professionalism of the way she had tweeted and written about the DeSean Jackson story. And this situation, she called it. And then I retweeted it saying it would have been nice to just hear you say, you know,
there's nothing
to it. And she didn't respond. And, you know, she writes, quote, this is the only tweet that I read that remotely represents the common decency and mutual respect that both the Buccaneers and DeSean Jackson deserve in regards to this matter and other issues our team is experiencing. Focus on today. Tomorrow, deal with tomorrow. I retweeted it and said, would have preferred something more along the lines of, he doesn't want to be traded. So, I mean, that says it all. But is this a bad thing, right? You think it's just a business thing for DeSean? Will the guys forgive him? How will this go down?
I think it's going to pass. Now, look, the deadline is Tuesday at 4 p.m. I'm on record saying that, if the Bucs are 3-4 instead of 4-3, it could have a profound effect on their trade posture. At 4-3, should they have won that game? And they almost did with a remarkable comeback effort. Should they have won that game, I think the Bucs would have been in buy mode. Maybe, search around. And you're hearing Landon. I mentioned Landon Collins' name last week. I threw it out there. And lo and behold, I look online yesterday and I see, teams are inquiring about Landon Collins. That doesn't mean he's available.
Yeah.
But they're inquiring about him. Heck of a player. And he certainly could help the Bucs. Especially if they were 4-3. Now you're 3-4. I still say they're not out of this thing, but I think, you've lost a little bit of appetite for giving up a draft pick for a player that can help you at 3-4. It makes a difference.
I don't know what to think about
this. I would not be in sell-off mode. I'm not in sell-off mode.
I got to be honest with you.
I got to give myself one more chance. I'm sorry.
I see 5 and 7 years of really, really horrid Lovie Smith 2014 football.
Well, yeah, I didn't say anything about trading Winston. I'm talking
I'm at the point now.
Boy,
where
is he down on this franchise, Steve?
Well, it's good.
I'm screaming, and he sounds like it's a funeral.
But before he said 10, so 5 to 7, he's getting better. He's getting better.
I mean, Lee, what's going on over
there? I can see it. There's a quote in the movie Gettysburg. Right at the very, very, very early skirmishes of the Battle of Gettysburg.
Don't tell me you're going to quote Abraham Lincoln.
No, I can't remember the Union.
That's as bad as Cutter going with Michael Jordan and Catanzaro.
I can't remember the Union General Cavalry Officer's quotes. And his name escapes me as well, but a famous figure in Civil War history. Not Phil Sheridan. And he said, I could see this clear as day.
Are you talking about a 17-year playoff drought now, DeKemper? Buck fans don't want to think about that. Come on now.
I can't live in fantasy land.
Frankly, Lee's point of view represents the feelings of a lot of fans. And we have 11 years of history to back it up. No playoffs, right? So it's not like this is just a fairy tale. And when this is rock bottom right now.
And when the Bucks go fishing for Trevor Lawrence, that's my prediction. How many years? 2 years out. When they try to go fishing for Trevor Lawrence, his agent's going to say, you're not playing for that crap franchise.
Thank God for the Browns from a Buck perspective. I mean, without the Browns, the Bucks would have the longest playoff drought and no signs of it abating.
The Bucks without the Browns. I love this analogy.
Don't you call the Bucks the Browns South or something?
Well, Cleveland South. Yeah, and without the Browns, the Bucks would definitely be the fire hydrant in the dog park of the NFL.
And it's true. It is true, unfortunately. But let me ask you this simply, Ira, as we head toward the end here of the podcast. Two questions on the
trade. By the way, I'm the only one that picked the Bengals this week. Let's get that out there.
Yes, so we've tightened up. I am, you're 4-3, along with me, and Lee is 3-4, I believe. I have to double check, but I think so.
At the same time, my fantasy team stinks.
Yes, horrible. You need to make some changes.
Horrible.
All right, Ira, simple answers here. Should the Bucs trade DeSean Jackson? If somebody says, Jason, we got a late second round pick. We'll fire it up. Give you a fifth too. Give you a late second and a fifth. Should he do it tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. Number two, should the Buccaneers be on the phone calling around, asking what the market is on Jameis Winston? Because you do never know until you ask. You don't know if someone's gonna. Well, only takes one guy to throw a couple of ones at you for Jameis, or a one and a two. Or a package, who knows what. Should they be calling? I'm not saying trade him. Should they make the phone
calls? Sorry, Lee, if you get adequate compensation, he should also be up for grabs. Yes. Yes.
All right, Ira, lastly, when was
you? You asked, and you got answers.
When was your last beet salad?
Last beet salad might have been at a French restaurant that cost me $140, not just for the beef. And by the way.
Oh, is this in Atlanta?
If anybody's listening from Burns Restaurant, I got an anniversary coming up. I go online last week to make a reservation. Of course, I have a gift certificate. That goes without saying. And I try to get the date, and it says what time you want to eat, 9 or 9:30. I go, what? I call get the woman on the phone. I got my anniversary coming up. Well, what's this going on? She looks at the date. She goes, 9 or 9:30. I said, I'm not eating a big steak dinner at 10:30 at night. How about the day before, the day after? Nope, not 9:30, sir, 9:30.
Let me guess.
No, screw you, okay. I'm going to Joe Madden's restaurant. Take that, Burns. Take that. I'm going to Madden's restaurant.
Did you say the magic
words? And they have a beet salad over there. How do you like that?
Madden does?
Yeah, Madden's restaurant has a beet salad.
Did you say I'm Eric Kaufman? Did you say that?
Well, I tried to say I'm one of Lee's unnamed sources, and then that didn't go over too well. We are going to have one heck of a podcast on Thursday, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild couple of days in Buccaneers land. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, we appreciate them. And Ira, last podcast, Thursday, you reappeared.
I don't like the way the trend's been going, Steve. I'm not getting any good answers from you about this.
Well, what answers? The people decide. Well, you have reappeared on the Google Play National Top 50 Podcast All Genres on Thursday. And you have been on since then.
Am I ahead of Nancy Grace?
I will take a look right now, Ira, just to satisfy you. But as we do that, of course, Tampa 2, You can find that at the Identity Tampa Bay and on Joe Bucks Fan.
That on Tuesday with Mr. Brooks.
Typically Thursdays and Fridays.
Brooks has given some great X's and O's stuff on there.
He really has given some good stuff. Send your questions in if you want to on Mondays to the Identity on Twitter. It's the best way to do it. Or there's always an option on JoeBucksFan.com. Yes, right now, Ira, your podcast on Google Play Podcasts is ranked just behind World News Tonight with David Muir and something called Critical Role, which I don't know what that is. It appears to be a Dungeon and Dragons podcast. So how about that? Anyway, Sage, congratulations. And how do you want to send out the good people of Tampa Bay who, frankly, feel like Lee and I do, that this is a tough spot unless somehow Dirk Cutter can resurrect Jameis Winston in an incredible hurry to salvage everything here?
I'll make it simple for everybody. This is a historic Buck offense. It's a damn shame you're 3-4. See you guys later in the week.